Meet the fact checkers trying to clean up Facebook. Yes, they think they can do it. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. We're a week away from the midterm elections, and it's time to talk about social media. After the 2016 elections, it became clear that a lot of divisive, misleading, and flat-out false information was coming from Facebook. In fact, a study earlier this year said Facebook was responsible for spreading more false news than any other online platform. And once the bad information was out there, fact-checking couldn't do much to reverse its impact. After the 2016 election, Facebook partnered with some news organizations to try to get misinformation before it spread, something that 2 years later still feels like an uphill battle. Angie Holin is the editor at PolitiFact, one of the outlets working with Facebook. She said fact checkers get access to a special selection of potentially false information.
We see what's essentially the worst news feed you've ever seen. It's typically posts from websites or other sources that users have flagged. Facebook puts things on this feed for fact checkers that imitate real news. So there's some things that we don't see in the feed. We don't see politicians' statements. We don't see ads. We just see content that people have marked as potentially false. And it tends to be news sites that you've never heard of or that are not super common.
Do you wish you didn't have to do this on Facebook? Like, is it even worth it to try to do this on Facebook? Is there potential for it to get better?
One of the big criticisms of Facebook is that they haven't shared enough data, especially with academic researchers, but also to some extent with fact checkers. So it's really hard for me to say if things are getting better or worse. I can say that subjectively, it does feel like there are fewer outrageous posts being shared as real news on the platform. So I am an optimist, and I do think that if we have robust fact-checking on a platform, that the quality of information on that platform will improve.
What do you think happens? I mean, there's one argument that everybody participating in the fact-checking program is basically just training Facebook's eventual artificial intelligence. You know, like what happens when Facebook says, great, thank you. We've learned enough about, you know, how to detect false information and photos, and we're just going to bring this into our machine learning.
Well, I think that's a great outcome. Then we can move on to other types of fact-checking. But overall, I feel like this is a problem to be managed rather than solved. If you look at history, if you look at other technologies such as the printing press, there's always been problems with misinformation and the need for people to find ways to mark sources as credible and authoritative. So I don't see the problem that's on Facebook is going away. It can get better, but it's not going to go away.
That's Angie Holin, editor at PolitiFact. Tomorrow, we'll talk to the producers of a new documentary called The Facebook Dilemma, looking at the company's growth and its impact on privacy and democracy. And now for some related links. Here's what's coming up this week that might make some tech news. Halloween! Okay, probably not tech news, but I'm excited. I'm going as Charlize Theron's character from Atomic Blonde, and I don't care if no one gets it, because I love that movie so much, and if I had won the bajillion dollar Mega Millions, I would have immediately bought her complete wardrobe from that movie. Okay, back to tech. TwitchCon is happening this week in San Jose, California, featuring Twitch streamers, fans, an esports stage, a cosplay contest. Ooh, I might need to go to this in my Atomic Blonde outfit. Side note, actually, I saw a report last week that said YouTube Live is starting to close in on Twitch. Twitch has about 750 million monthly viewers on average. YouTube Live has more like 226 million, but that's up 10% in just a few months' time. And the report found that Twitch's top 100 channels haven't grown that much since the beginning of the year. There are also going to be Apple gadgets this week, perhaps the long-awaited update to the MacBook Pro or even the MacBook Air that some of us were hoping might come up in September at the iPhone event, because some of us, yes, like to use our phones, but also need to get some work done. It'll be Tuesday in Brooklyn, focusing on the iPad, MacBooks, and, you know, anything not iPhone or Apple Watch. It'll also be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, so I am betting on a musical guest. But Diplo is already booked for TwitchCon, so I don't know how they're planning to out-hip the world, but I'm sure we'll find out. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Sign up for our daily email newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 treat bags filled with some great Marketplace swag, including our high-powered phone charger, a pretty cool gadget you cannot get anywhere else. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.